Welcome to the Kalamunda Sermon Cast. This message was first delivered live at Kalamunda Church of Christ.
Well, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. There we go. I am a friendly bloke. Well, I'll try and be. I think I am. Well, it's my privilege to be here this morning and talk about His power. Holy Spirit, let your power fall in this place. But before we get into all of that, I first need to do all the good thing which pastors need to do. You see, because if I don't do this, Steve will come and whip my butt afterwards. Please delete that from that tape when you get it to him. But I want to thank Steve and the eldership. Thank Steve and all the leaders for inviting me. It is a massive privilege. And I want to say that speaking about the Holy Spirit is one of the most amazing part of the Bible to talk about, because the Holy Spirit is really real. And when Steve asked me, although I had to rejuggle our whole schedule at home at Dalkeith Road, I couldn't say no. I had to say yes, because I really felt that this was a God thing. So I really believe that today is a God appointment, and that God is going to do stuff in here. I have an expectancy. I've been praying and had some fasting time as well about this week here at Kalamunda. And I really believe God's going to do something. But I want to introduce you to my family, that you know who I am. This is my beautiful wife. She is Paulina, and she's the apple of my eye. She is a stunner. I think so at least. And I'm really blessed to have her alongside me as we journey together. She's the Associate Minister at Dalkeith Road Church of Christ, and she's keeping the fort happening there. She works two and a half days at Dalkeith and 2 days at the dentist in Yokine. Those two boys, they are my pride, they're Papa's pride and joy. The eldest one is Jacob. He is now just turned 7. He's the best sportsman and drummer this side of heaven. Well, at the age of 7, I would say. That rhymes. I didn't plan that. But anything that can be thrown, anything that can be kicked, anything that can be hit in regards to sport, I've got to say, he masters at whatever age. And being a drummer, at the age, I think he could barely sit when he started drumming. And he broke every one of Mum's buckets. So we've gone through the whole bucket thing. He got hold of the pots. He broke the spoons. Metal spoons on the pots, believe it or not. So he's now got his drum kit. Edward, the younger one, he's my blue-eyed little heartthrob, and he has learned to flutter his eyes at the age of 2 and use those flutters to try and, what do you call it, manipulate. But it doesn't work with Papa. I think he actually learned to flutter it. As he came out of the womb, he started fluttering his eyelids. But anyway, he doesn't get it right with me. But both boys are very popular at school, and Edward is the kid that I take by the hand when we leave school, because he's got all these girls lining the pathway going, "Bye, Edward. See you later, Edward. Chat tomorrow, Edward. Love you, Edward." And it's just really scary to think at the age of 5. And yesterday he came home and he said, "Mum, guess what? I kissed the girl on the lips." We were like, "You what? 20 years old is when you're allowed to do that for the very first time, not when you're in my house." So please pray for me, and pray for all the girls in our street, and all the parents of the girls in our street. And then we've got this, is the new addition to the Mayer family, who's going to be making its appearance in 6 weeks' time, and we're very excited about that as well. So Mum is heavily pregnant, on the platform, preaching today, so keep her in your prayers. Anyway, we've been in Australia now for 10 years, and I was on staff at Riverview Church for 6 of them, called to Alan Myers Church in Melbourne and we were there for 2, and with the change of leadership, when Alan stepped down, we had a new leader who basically made a number of positions redundant, which were mine as well as Paulina's, my wife. And anyway, we were praying and going for interviews, and we got this call from this little old church down the road at Dalkeith, and after much prayer, after much prayer, we felt that God was leading us back to Perth. We've been there now for 23 months, and we are counting. We're loving it. We love the people. They are fantastic. We've seen phenomenal growth. We've seen the hand of God on that church, which has just been amazing. We've seen phenomenal growth. From 29, when we arrived, we averaged anything between 90 and 100 on a weekend in 23 months. So, and that's not us. That's God. And we've got a staff team of about 11 people. One is full-time, two are part-time, and the rest are volunteers. And they're all qualified ministers, which is just amazing. Who am I? I'm a normal guy. I've got nose hairs, I've got warts, I've got freckles, I've got a crooked nose, but I'm employed by the most amazing person, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I've been working for the King now for 18 years, and it has been the most amazing, smooth journey that I've ever been on, and I've loved every minute of it. Not. It has not been a smooth journey, and I have not loved every minute of it. In actual fact, there have been times that I have hated it, but after ranting and raving, and having a good blubber, and going to bed and having a good sleep, and waking up the next morning, and having a meeting with the King, I seem to get rid of my attitude and just get back to work, because that's what he wants from us. So, yeah, it's been great. One of my biggest beefs in life have been reading through manuals. I hate reading through manuals. Don't give me a manual to read through. So when I buy a new gadget, I like to plug it in, turn it on, and voila. Yep, and everything is working. Anyone here feel the same way? Show of hands. I see your hands. I'm not alone. I am not alone. How many blokes here read the manual, the full manual? How many blokes do read the full manual? One, two. We'll pray for you afterwards. We'll have a prayer line. But that's okay. Well, you got to come and teach me. You see, us blokes normally do is we normally go to the quick start manual. Yeah? But look at some of these quick start manuals. I mean, talk about quick start. Look at the bottom one with the dog on. That's a quick start manual that thick. The dog doesn't even believe it's a quick start manual. And then you get the one on the other side, quick start manual. I think it's the Wall Street. I've tried that, and my chest doesn't look like that at all. I had a scarf on to hide it. But I mean, really, quick start manuals, that thing. Quick start guide to easy online profit. By the time I've read that, I'm about 80 years old because it takes so long to read them. But honestly, we love quick start manuals. Who loves IKEA? Anybody here love IKEA? Five of us. The meatballs. Let's go to that one. Who loves the food of IKEA? Yeah, the meatballs. We don't love the food of IKEA because it's so amazing. We love the food of IKEA because it's so cheap. Yeah? Yeah, but it is good. And who's done the hot chocolate of IKEA? I am not a hot chocolate drinker, but man, I recommend, highly recommend the hot chocolate of IKEA. You've got to go there. Now, I must say that I am being paid to say this, so just mention my name when you get it. No, I'm kidding. Who hates putting stuff from IKEA together? Yes, I do as well. That's me. I find that when I drive away from IKEA, I'm very happy with the purchase because it's been cheap. But as I get around the corner, I get this dampness here and over here. And by the time I get home and drive into the driveway, I've got the aircon on freezing cold because I'm sweating blood, as to say. My kids are freezing. They've got their jumpers on because I am just so nervous about putting this thing together. You see, because when I get there, I get it out, and I get the manual out, and I get the pieces out, and I'm three quarters of the way through, and then I seem to find out I have too many screws and bolts and nuts and even panels left on the side. Anybody with me here? Come on, go with me. Yep, yep. And then what happens? I find out that I stuffed it all up. And I look like this. Can we go back to the previous one, please? You look at that bottom one. It's got a person's head with two ears and screws in them. So I don't know what that picture's trying to say to me. Screw your ears on and your eyes in that you can see what's happening. I mean, Gutvik for a bed. Call it a bed, please. Gutvik. Really, I mean. I don't understand. I'm like that bloke in the top. But anyway, I feel like the next one, which is this grumpy dude, going, I've got to go back to the manual. Now, how many of us here have ever done anything with so much great joy and enthusiasm, but we never really understood what we were letting ourselves in for? Yep, yep. Anybody gone on a 4x4 trail on the beach? You've never done it before, and you get stuck halfway through. Yeah, I get some people. Yeah, I see your hands. The truth will set you free, brother. I just want to let you know. But anyway, how many of us have received tools or some amazing gadget at Christmas time, Mother's Day, Father's Day, like a sewing machine or a whiz-bang drill or an iPad or a Canon camera, and we don't really know the full potential of the machine? Yep, yep, yeah. More hands are going up. That, yeah. See your iPad, brother. See your iPad. But at the end of the day, what happens is we end up getting very despondent, and we end up getting to a place where we just want to throw in the towel because it doesn't really sit with us. It doesn't really fit with us because we don't like going through the manuals. And unfortunately, we say this is too hard. We get to the place where this is way too tough, where I go, I feel like a failure, or I can't do this. And we settle for second best. All right? We become imprisoned in our own limitations. And you know what? There's nobody else to blame but ourselves, because we put those limitations on ourselves. I don't know if any of you have seen the educational program that show how baby elephants are trained by circuses or even in India. They take the trainer takes the baby elephant and puts it's not a chain, it's more like a leather strap on the baby's leg that it cannot break, and it goes against us the whole time, dragging the back leg, and eventually it gets to the point where it realizes it's not going to be able to go anywhere, and it just stands still. That's how they train it. And it doesn't matter how massive the elephant becomes, but he becomes a prisoner in his own mind. He's accepted the stronghold, and even though the elephant has everything it needs to be free, like in size and strength, it remains a bondage for the rest of its life. And too often our Christian walk is better described by that elephant imprisoned in his own mind than in the openness of being available for what God has determined for us to be and knowing what it is that he has for us. But that isn't how God has intended for us to live our lives. You see, imprisoned. He is waiting for us to leave behind our lives of self-imposed bondage. Like I said, we impose the bondage on ourselves. He wants us to start living a life that is filled with His Spirit, a life that is filled with His power. Now, I've been amazed at how so many churches and pastors are talking about the Holy Spirit of late. We were at the Cockway retreat pastors retreat the other day, and just speaking to the different pastors, there's so many of them that are talking about the Holy Spirit. Go digging out the Holy Spirit's manuals and starting to talk about it. And we've just come out of that ourselves, you know, because I believe the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing in His church. He's doing a new thing in His church. And when we speak of the Holy Spirit, I need to clarify this. The Holy Spirit is not a representative of God. The Holy Spirit is God. Right? That was a major revelation for me one day. Because we think the Holy Spirit is a representative of God. He's not. He is God. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit and His church, I'm talking about God's church, okay? The Holy Spirit is busy doing a new thing. And we've just finished our series and looked at the Holy Spirit. We've titled it The Source of Life. Looking at similar things, you know, the person, which you guys have looked at, His purpose, which you guys have looked at, His power, which is what we're going to be looking at today, at His power. And then next week, His ministry. Which is crucial, folks. Crucial. I want us to read this morning, if you've got your Bibles here, let's pick up our Bibles and let's get into the Word and let's talk about Acts. And let's read in Acts 1, verses 1 to 9. Acts 1, verses 1 to 9. This is a crucial part of the Bible. And we've got to understand this. Acts 1, verses 1 to 9. I'm reading out of the Contemporary English Version. Theophilus, I first wrote to you about all that Jesus did and taught from the very first until he was taken up to heaven. But before he was taken up, he gave orders to the apostles he had chosen with the help of the Holy Spirit. For 40 days, Jesus had suffered and died. He proved in many ways that he had been raised from death. He appeared to his apostles and spoke to them about God's kingdom. While he was still with him, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem yet. Wait for the Father to give you the Holy Spirit, just as I told you he has promised you to do. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." While the apostles were still with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, are you now going to give Israel its own king?" Jesus said to them, "You don't need to know the time of those events that only the Father controls. But the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and everywhere in the world." After Jesus had said this, and while they were watching, he was taken up into a cloud and they could not see him. Technology. Let's get back to the scriptures. All right, so we've read this scripture, and that's going to be the base this morning for our message. You see, when we talk about the power of God, the enemy trembles. He trembles at the thought of you partnering with the Holy Spirit and receiving God's power. It wasn't funny this morning when I walked in and there was a projector issue. And we were trying to get our mic set up, Luke and I, and there was a mic issue. And, you know, on the way here, I'd left half of my notes back for the wonderful people that are doing the PowerPoints, etc. I wasn't amazed, because that's what normally happens when you talk about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the enemy's not happy. The enemy trembles at the thought of you partnering with the Holy Spirit. We need to realize today, though, that the power that God is talking about here belongs to God. It belongs to God. He says in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." God is the giver of the power. The Holy Spirit is the person who imparts to the individual believer this power that belongs to God. Okay? So the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is to take what belongs to God and make it yours. Hello? It's to take what belongs to God and make it yours. What belongs to God? The power. It is His power. And the Spirit of God wants to release in you what God has ordained for you. Life-giving, life-changing power. Now we must realize this, that in order for us to fulfill the mission, Jesus has given the church, who's the church? You and I. All right? We need what? The power. But to get the power, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 again. Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You see, you can't have the power without having the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, us included, all of us, the church as well, they want the power, but they're not prepared to have the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay? Folks, the power and the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a luxury in your spiritual walk. It is a complete necessity. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. The power of God belongs to the children of God. Why? Because it is your birthright in Christ. It is stated in 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things are yours. All things belong to us because it's our birthright in Christ. But, there's a but. I always love putting in buts. The onus lies with us to understand and claim the Holy Spirit's work for ourselves. I cannot claim the Holy Spirit's work for Andrew. And Andrew cannot claim it for me. I have to claim the Holy Spirit's work and the power for me, myself. Adam and Eve, choices. Choices. We have been given choices in life. God has left the choice in our hand, and the choice has to be ours. Do we want to take this or don't we? You see, the onus is ours. But it is when we do that we will see the fullness of His power start manifesting in our lives and start manifesting in our service. Let me say this again. When we do claim the work of the Holy Spirit, we will see the fullness of His power start manifesting in our lives and our service. It saddens me this morning to stand up here and to admit that the majority of the church knows and claims such a small portion of that which God has made possible for them in Christ. It saddens me. And I say this because the church today knows so little of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives and knows so little of what the Holy Spirit longs to do in our lives and for us. And because of this, we do not live in the abundance, in the promise of the abundance that Jesus gave us in John 10:10. John 10:10, He said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give life, and that in abundance." Jesus wants us to have a life of abundance. They do not understand His power, therefore they do not. This is the church. They do not know the potential which is at their disposal. It's like the Canon manual of my camera. I do not know what's in that manual, therefore I do not know how that camera functions 110%. So am I using the camera to its fullest? No, I'm not. It's the same with us. They try and do things out of their own strengths, and unfortunately, guess who suffers? They do. We do. And the church does. The church in general. How many people do you know that have been hurt by people within the church? And I go, the reason why. It's not because those people are bad people, but many times those people are trying to function out of their own strength instead of trying to function out of God's strength. And because they function out of their own strength, the other person gets hurt, and therefore they leave the kingdom. They leave church. They never want to put their foot in church again. Here's a good illustration. As Christians, we can be compared to a reservoir or a dam which produces electric power. How? Anybody heard of the hydroelectrical facilities? Yeah, great. Niagara Falls is a good example. You see, Niagara Falls has got the gates. And at the gates, they've got the sluice gates where they've got the turbines. And when the water goes through the turbines, the power is created and released. Correct? Now, we have the potential to be useful and affect lives like the power going through that. Why? Because when we accept Christ, construction of our reservoir is complete. The potential is there. But like the water in the dam, it's only when the water goes through the gates and through the turbines that the electricity is created. The same with us. It's when we are baptized in the Spirit and we open our lives to God and the Holy Spirit pours in and through us that the power pours out of us. You with me? We're a reservoir in which the Spirit works, lives, and wants to move out of. As with the reservoir, this power generating experience is not intended to be a one-time occurrence. Because as soon as the water stops, the power stops. It's got to be a continuous process. And that's the same in our spiritual lives. When we start running low, we need to return to the source. We need to return back to the Holy Spirit and let His power fill us and pour into us again, bringing fresh power so that it can go out of us. You with me? It's good? Very quiet. All right. That is why in Ephesians 5:18 it says, "Be filled with the Spirit." The Greek word for filled is pleroeo, which means to make full, to fill up, to full to the full. to give in the idea that we need to keep on being filled constantly and continually. That's the word. But you may be thinking this morning, folks, you may be here thinking, but have we not received the Holy Spirit when we were saved? Yeah, you're right. You're right. But there's a distinction between receiving the Spirit when you were saved and being baptized. Let's take a look at that quickly. John 10, Jesus appears to the disciples. Jesus has been crucified, he's in the grave, and he's risen, the tomb is empty, and all the disciples are in the room, the doors are locked, the windows are shut, and Jesus appears to them. And in verse 20 it says, John 20, and he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There's no question here that this passage clearly says that they received the Holy Spirit. It's written. They received the Holy Spirit. Okay? But there was a sequel. Okay, you know, we all know what a sequel is. You know, James 1:1, James 1:2, James 1:3, whatever, whatever. Right, so there was a sequel. The real power was to come later. Because several days later, just before he goes up into heaven, he says to them in Acts 1:5, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So why would he say be baptized if they've already... Yeah? Yeah, you cool? So clearly there's two different accounts of the Holy Spirit. Now folks, you might be asking the question, JJ, why are you going down this path? Because we need to understand this before we get to the power bit. You see, there's two different accounts of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not the same as salvation. Baptism is the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. That is crucial to know. It's the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Now, a famous fundamentalist Baptist preacher, John R. Rice, said this. He said, there's an experience after salvation called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. All saved people do not have the Holy Spirit, but when someone is saved, the Holy Spirit puts him into the body of Christ. Number one. But besides that, Christians ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit and special soul-winning power. Now that's what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, or God's power. So now we know there's a time when we put our hands up and we give our lives to Jesus, and when we invite God into our life, that at salvation, that we are born again by the Spirit. And then comes the sequel where we believe that when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we receive God's power. Now we set that foundation, right? So you might be saying, right, move on, get on to the power bit. I want to hear the power bit. Okay, I'm moving on. I'll be there right now. The next thing that we need to know is that every believer, if you are sitting here today, you call yourself a believer, a child of God, every believer can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Take note of my word choice. Can be. Not is, can be. It's your choice. It's your choice. In his book, there's this book written by Tim Enlow, Want More. The book's called Want More? He says this. He says, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the primary empowering from God that all New Testament believers can experience. Once again, can experience. It's a choice that we make. And in our text this morning, we read the promise. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So, Jesus promises us the power. The Greek word for power is spelled D-Y-N-A-M-I-S, and it is pronounced dunamis. Alright? The N is like a silent N, so it's dunamis. Okay? Dunamis. The definition is from the Interlinear Study Bible, means strength, power, and ability. But then it goes into all this that is written in white. So the definition of dunamis is strength, power, and ability. But then this interlinear study Bible spells it out. It says, it's an inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. It's power for performing miracles. It's moral power and excellence of soul. It's the power and influence which belong to riches and wealth, power and resources arising from numbers, power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, or hosts. Man alive, do we need this power? We need this power. Do we need power to have moral power? And power that can help us be excellence of soul. Do we need power for performing miracles? Do we need power and influence which belong to riches and wealth? We need all of that. That's what the world strives for. The world strives for power. But here comes Jesus and he says, you will receive. You will receive it all. When? When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive that when the Spirit comes upon you. So we've got to realize, folks, that it's not difficult to have the power. Everything that we need in life, when you look at those definitions, is what we need. Here Jesus is saying to his disciples, you will receive dunamis. You will receive the power. When? When things go wrong? When we walk the road alone? No. When you struggle with life? No. When you attend church 24/7 on a regular basis? No. When? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that the disciples would need all these gifts in order to fulfill their mission. And Jesus knew that you and I would need His power in order for us to fulfill our mission that He has given us. And He's given it to us. It's there. It's available to every person who calls themselves a believer. The question is this, though. Does the child of God, you, me, need the baptism of the Spirit? Yes. Because when we are baptized with the Spirit, we receive the power. The question is, does the church need you and I to receive the baptism of the Spirit? You see, because many times we think the church is this. No. What I want you to see is, yes, the church does, because you are the church. And unfortunately, the church has lost its power within society and within the context of church because people, you and I, have stopped pursuing that which God has in store for us, so as to fulfill His promises. You see, the Holy Spirit at some stage in the church life, Peter, had went wacko. People went really way overboard. And a lot of people have been burnt. And now a lot of people are really wary and standoffish about it. And I understand that. Been there, done that, been part of that. But what I'm trying to say today is that, and because that has happened, a lot of the church has lost the power because we don't visit the Holy Spirit anymore. But God is doing a new thing. I believe it with my whole heart. Talking to so many pastors who are now taking out the books on the Holy Spirit, dusting them off, and starting to study them and speak about it in the church shows me that the Spirit is moving in a fresh way over the church. You see, but let's ask the question here. What does it mean to have His power function in my life? What does it mean? Well, Jesus said this. He said, those who receive the Holy Spirit receive the power to walk, to witness, and to work miracles. To walk, to witness, to walk, to witness, and to work miracles. To walk. We receive His power to walk. To walk like what? To walk like Jesus. You know, if we want to become Christ-like, we need the power of God in us. More of Him and less of us. We believe that it is tough in this world of ours to live 100% for Jesus because we've got the internet and there's pornography. There's this, there's every pub on every corner. And you know, we've got all these excuses. But with the power of the Holy Spirit equipping us and being with us, We can do it. Can you do it? Yes, we can. The Holy Spirit is in us to conform us to Jesus Christ, to work on the inside of us and to transform us so that we are like Jesus. We become Christ-like, because it's only then that we become what the Bible calls a holy people, a people that learns how to act correctly, how to love unconditionally, how to handle themselves in a way that reflects whose character, not my character, but God's character. That's why we need the Spirit of God to walk. It's like a cloth. If I take a cloth and I dip it in dye, is the cloth the same? It's the same thing, but it looks different. If I take a person's life and you are baptized. Baptized means immersed into God. Are you going to look the same? You will be the same physically, but on the inside you would have changed. You see, Jesus comes and he says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here Jesus parallels John's baptism with water baptism. It's the immersion into the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said that, he meant that God wants to immerse you and I into himself. He wants to produce change. Changes which brings about change in the purpose of life and how we walk. Are you ready for this? How are you and I able to live for Jesus fully? By being baptized, by being filled, by having the power of God. The second thing that he said, we receive his power to witness for Jesus. He says in the scripture, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The word here, the Greek word for witnesses is martus. Martus meaning martyr. Martyr meaning witness. This verse is less of a command and more of a promise. When you receive the Spirit, you will be promise. You will be my witnesses. The problem with the church, why the church is empty, is because we are not witnessing anymore. So therefore I ask, is there a lack of power? Are we drained? I reckon. The church is drained from the power. The turbines want to go, but there's no more power flowing through. The reservoir is empty. The reservoir has to be filled. The miracles here are still happening. You see, when we think of the day of Pentecost, we have a group of people who assembled. They prayed, they received, and then they proclaimed. And it's with that proclamation that thousands were added to the numbers. But you know what? The miracle is still happening here. When we think of miracles, folks, we think of whiz-bang lights, we think of rallies. And normally where there's a rally and miracles are happening, thousands attend. Yeah? Yeah? And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. But what we mustn't forget, we must not neglect, that the foundational work of the Holy Spirit is not just at rallies, it's to work in the church. So that the church becomes a pure people and proclaims Jesus Christ to the world. You see, when we have rallies, it's normally a once-off thing that runs for 3 or 4 days. But the church meets on a regular basis on a Sunday. Yeah? That's why we're here. The church, when we leave here, is the church no longer? No, we are the church. Therefore, where we go to the restaurant this afternoon, the church is there. When we go to home groups, the church is there. When we walk in IGA, the church is there. Why? Because we are the church. So therefore, we need the power. We need to remember that having the power and witnessing is not showing what we can do for God, but what God has done for us. That's what we need the power for. Not telling everybody what we can do for God. Because, you know, I can play the piano. And I can do that. No! It's what did God do for me? Well, the cross is empty. The tomb is empty. He has risen. That's what he's done for me. He put his life on the line for you and me. Not something that we have to worry about. The last point, we receive his power to work miracles. And that's what we need. Because I say, as soon as one eye that was blind is opened in this place, guess what? There will not be room enough in here. These seats will not be empty. There won't be standing room at the back. There won't be car park place. Because that's the world is sick and tired of hearing about Christianity, hearing about God. They want to see. You and I need the power to be able to, the work to do the miracles that Jesus did. He said, he says this, he says in John 14, 12, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Huh? Listen, listen, everybody's ears. Put those hearing aids up, change the batteries quickly. He will do even greater things than these. Hello? Because I'm going to the Father. Are we seeing those greater things? I'll leave it with you. When Jesus had gathered his disciples together, he gave them this parting message. He says, and these signs will accompany you, accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Man, can we not just grasp that and make that our daily task? How many people are sick? How many people are sick? And he says here, these things will follow. These things will follow. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not Steve Hall's job. Oh, you know, Steve, I've been telling you that you need to get a little bit more spiritual, you know? But you didn't want to listen to me. I'm going to go and buy him the CD that he's got to hear what JJ says. No, it's not Steve's job. It's our job. We are the church. We need the power. We've got to take what God gives us and we've got to take it out to the world. Your leaders, your pastors are here to bring stuff like this, to challenge you so that you can accept this and then go. Jesus said to his disciples, disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. He said it to them. Ask a good question. The good question is this. With all this power available to every follower of Jesus, why are we not walking and living in the fullness of His Spirit? I've got the answer. Well, I think I've got the answer. Because people have not, because they ask not. We're not asking. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Luke 11:9-10 says, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what the Lord will do in your life. But I do know this, that if you wish to have a deeper, life-changing, intimate relationship with God, then you need to follow Jesus' command and be filled continuously. Or, if you haven't been baptized with the Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Enlow says this, the baptism does not make you more or less a child of God. You are a child of God. It's not going to make you more or less. You are already a child of God. But the Spirit baptism is all about greater spiritual intimacy and power. It's not an either or proposition. You receive both. The first is for your personal benefit. The second is for others. I always say to Dale Keithrow, Church of Christ, it's not about us. It's not about us. We're here. It's about them that aren't here. These seats need to be filled. You've got to start having double services, triple services, four services. And the team's going, Lord, please, no, not at all. But I know. But when the people come, the teams get bigger. There is hope team, there is hope. When the people come, the teams do get bigger. More people put their hands up. But folks, we need to come and realize that we need the power. First of all, for our personal benefit. But it's not for us. It's for them out there. We need to bring them in here so that they can hear this message. So that they can have an encounter with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So that their lives can be touched and changed for all eternity. God does not only want to increase your intimacy with Him, but also your spiritual power to minister to others. You see, His power is not just something that happens to you. A lot of us, people go, what if people fall over, JJ? Is that the Holy Spirit? I go, well, yeah, I think so. I don't know. But you know when you will see it? 2 weeks down the track. Because if they've had an encounter with God on the floor here, their lives will be changed for all eternity. That's how you measure it. Because if you've had an encounter with God, your life can never be the same again. Never. And that's what we need. We need those constant encounters with God. We need to be full every now and again. Full so that our tanks are full, so that we can go and give to the others. So whatever circumstances you are facing, folks, no matter how bad things are looking, you know what? God is going to use that. This is going to be the starting point. They are the platform from which He can do what He does best. The impossible. God does. The God we serve is the God of the impossible. But it all depends on us again. The power in our life. How dependent are you on the Spirit of God? I've written here, however, the measure of God's power in your life is dependent on how much of your life is ordered by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? Come on, let's go. Let's stop being so serious. Let's get a little bit creative. Let the imagination go. Can you imagine when 90% of the people here, let's say less, let's say 75% of the people here are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. Can you imagine in this place? When Christine and the team pick up, man, before they even start singing, you're in worship. You're in worship before you even get in the car. You're praying before you go to the cafe. You're going, God, show me somebody today. You know what the Lord says to me? Bum, 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 bum. And this guy just breaks down in tears. And you go, let me pray for you. Do you know Jesus? I don't know Jesus. Lead him to the Lord. That's the kind of stuff we need. All these revivals that happen, that's the kind of stuff that happens. People walk past the churches and fall on their knees and start bawling and start confessing their sins because there's people inside praying for the other people out there. I'd like to encourage you not to miss next week. Next week is crucial. And Steve didn't tell me to say this. This is what I'm saying. This next part is what God has shown me in my quiet time and my fasting. I'm going to read it. If you missed any of the other messages, get the CD or the DVD. Because I believe God is bringing Kalamunda to a new chapter in the life of this church. And God is going to... Can I have the pianist up, please? And God is going to use this series as a foundation for what He wants to do next. Hear what I'm saying? He's going to use this series, the Holy Spirit, as the foundation for what He wants to do next. And here's a word, the vision that I saw. God is about to release something in this church that has not been seen here yet. It is new. It is fresh, and it will be invigorating. It will bring new life. Prepare yourselves. Chairs, I don't know if you've got to buy new ones, whatever, but prepare yourself. And then I saw this. I saw a plow, plowing up the land. Plowing up the old leaves and the old branches that have been pruned over the years. The old branches, the leaves representing a new season. When autumn comes, the leaves fall. But when spring comes, there's new life. Those autumn leaves, there's a new season. God was plowing these leaves into the ground. God has laid compost, fertilizer, which he's been plowing into the ground. And one bit more gets better. Also, God has the manure. Yeah, read between the lines if you want to. All the stuff this church has gone through, I saw the word manure. He is plowing into the land. And, this was amazing. Plowing all the troubles and the challenges that you have gone through into the soil. And the soil looked rich and smelt rich, ready for the seeds to be planted. However, there were questions that I believe the Spirit of God placed in my heart, and they were this: will you be ready, Kalamunda Church of Christ? Will you be ready, leadership? Will you be ready, teams? Will you be willing, is the next question. Will you be ready when this new season comes, not only corporately but also individually? When the seedlings come up, will you be ready to water and nurture and grow? When the insects come and the locusts come to steal, kill, and destroy, will you be ready to protect and comfort and help heal? When the harvest comes in, will you be ready to work it and get it into the barn? Will you be willing to let go of your comfort zone, willing to be allow His power to move through you in a new and a fresh way, laying aside the old, laying aside the past, laying aside the hurt, and allowing His power to move through you in a fresh way? Will you be willing to embrace those that do not know Him? And will you be willing to get your hands dirty for Him? Will you be willing? Will you be willing? Just getting the music team up. I want you to close your eyes there where you are. And allow God to speak to you this morning. Will you be willing? And will you be ready? Will you be willing? And will you be ready? The power of God is moving in this place. I don't want anybody walking around, please. I don't want anybody leaving, because that might just disturb those that are here. God is having an encounter with you. Just close our eyes. Let the Spirit of God just flow. Right now. Will you be ready? Do you need a touch? Do you need the power? Do you need the baptism? We're going to sing this song, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Kalamunda Church Christ. If you are inspired or challenged by this message, we hope that you will share it with a friend. And hey, let us know too. Find us at kalamundachurchchrist.org.au. Also look for us on Twitter and Facebook.